Hey everybody, my name is SD Hoover.
And my name is Farrell.
Welcome to Publishers Clutterhouse, a Project 89 Media production. On this podcast, we talk about all things writing and usually things that are not related to writing. And that's Sigler telling you guys that it's time for the show. Bitch! Welcome to Publishers Clutterhouse. I wasn't ready for that opening. Farrell, make it better in post.
No.
Okay. I have the Geico cat watching me. Have we talked about this one before?
No, we haven't. We've always talked about the leopard geckos.
Oh, the leopard geckos I separated out, so they're not all in the same space anymore right next to me. But on the other side, on my right side, is what's called a...
Crimson Day Gecko.
Crimson Day Gecko. Giant Day Gecko.
Which is the inspiration for the Geico
Gecko. It is
gecko.
The Geico Gecko.
Yeah. So well, I was saying the inspiration for.
Just and this so guy, he never touches the ground. He's always on the glass, or he's on that little log that's in there.
Or he's on the ceiling.
Or he'll be like right now on our side of the tank looking at us, looking for food. But you know he wants to sell you real estate. Car
estate is what you're used
car
to.
Car estate, yes.
Okay.
Well, how are you doing?
We just finished recording another episode.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But we want a backlog, and I had a topic that I want us to both... We've talked about ourselves.
We were just back to our regular episode format.
I know, and I screwed it up. I'm sorry! But hey, now you've got backlogged episodes to work with.
Yeah.
But there's a topic that's been going around sort of the indie world, and like I said in the last episode, I want to try and refocus more, on talking about things going on in the publishing world, what we're doing, because this is called Publishers Cluttered House, not Authors Cluttered House.
Well, I mean, we are the publisher.
I know, we're publisher, but...
And look at our house.
We are in the most cluttered room in the house because it doesn't know what it wants to be yet. It's the reptile room, but it's also the room where all the crap from the shed that blew over is in right now.
Oh, yeah, because we never talked about that.
I think we talked about that. The last big windstorm, our shed basically flew away.
Or collapsed.
And left everything. Yeah.
It collapsed in on itself.
Pieces of it flew away, damaged our pool, and so we had to start bringing things in, and not all of it's in.
We got our shed from the Dollar General.
We did, huh? Hey, we paid $800 to the good people at Home Depot. Thank you very much. So maybe not the best out here. The problem was the wind was okay, but in the heat of the summer, we get 116 out here as the highest I know offhand I've seen. And the plastic that the thing was built of started to melt. So I don't know. I'm probably just going to get some 2x4s and save what I can. Because some of the pieces did not melt or they warp. I'm thinking if I get some 2x4s and make a base and everything, I can maybe salvage this.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got a scare. It looked like there was a face looking through the door, but it's just the reflection of the snake flag over there.
Well, do you want me to shut the door so you don't get scared?
I mean, yes. Thank you. Well, you scared the rattlesnake. Thank you.
The rattlesnake, whose name... is Karen! You're supposed to rattle then.
She hasn't been nearly as rattly with us lately. She's been good. She's getting used to us, and I kind of like that. Because if it's an animal that's dangerous, I'd rather expose it to people more and more and more in a safe way. And, we're feet away from this animal, but she'll still freak out sometimes.
Yeah, like if we stand up suddenly.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a topic.
What's your topic?
And I think I've brought this up to you. I don't know how often I've brought it up on the podcast, but it's something that is getting increasingly interesting to me as sort of a move that I did not expect out of Amazon at this time. Which
you heard of this new thing called Kindle?
I don't think it's gonna last, babe. I don't think it's here to stay, babe. We got these iPhones now.
Those e-books.
Yeah, we got them iPhones. We can read our porn books on there now with our KU subscription. I shouldn't laugh. One of the books is doing very well in KU at this moment.
One of your porn books?
No, I didn't publish any of the porn books. I never finished them. I got distracted.
And speaking of ebooks, I just wanted to say this real quick. Friend of mine, who I started working professionally with, he was a friend of a friend, And, you know, he's been blind for over 20 years. And I had to explain to him what ebooks can and cannot do. It's like
Are you talking about who I think you're talking
about?
Yeah. Okay.
Because, like, he had this certain expectation. Like, he'd heard about ebooks, but he had this certain expectation in his head of what they were and, you know, what they did. And he wanted to publish an ebook with us. And I had to sort of sit down and tell him, no, actually, this is what ebooks do. Like, ebooks can't do.
That can't be easy.
Yeah, ebooks cannot do what you think they can do.
Yeah.
Because...
And we've had to tell a lot of authors that a few times when we talked about taking on others. Basically. Yeah.
So that was a very interesting experience for me.
But I wanted to talk about the fact that I feel it's a little strange that right now Amazon has begun offering hardback editions. You can publish your independent book in a hardback, which is not new. You could always do that with like Ingram and such.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're bringing it to Amazon. They're bringing it to KDP and, you know, integrating it into what became of CreateSpace over at Amazon. And I knew you could always request it from KU.
KDP.
Sorry, I get those terms confused a lot. I'd heard people before talk about you could request it when it was on CreateSpace. Say, hey, do you offer paperbacks? And they said, yeah, but we only have a limited way of doing it, so we don't offer it.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like they finally decided to offer it on a wider scale.
Yeah.
Now, I have not looked into pricing or anything, but I wanted to see how you felt about possibly launching hardback editions of our novels.
I know I want to look into a hardback of ? At least, mm-hmm. for the 5th anniversary.
I think, in my opinion, I want to look at doing it for all the books we have control over as far as the sole author books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the anthologies justify the effort.
Yeah.
At this time, but I also feel that some of the other books we have that have not done, you know, amazing even,
mm-hmm.
and the books that have done amazing, the way I see it is it's another revenue stream. If people want a hardback, they can get a hardback.
And plus, it'll give us another chance to sort of clean up the inside, you know, updated with new author bios and...
Because since we do some of this in-house, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
The only thing is going to be, and I dreaded saying this to anybody, and I've said it before to you,
mm-hmm.
I no longer have the cover files for Michael and Hale.
Mm-hmm.
Those were both lost on one of the computers during the move that never made it out here.
Yeah.
It might be out in that shed. I doubt it. I mean, mm-hmm. I looked through pretty thoroughly, and I did not find other computers.
But you took a backup of those.
No.
You didn't?
I couldn't find it when I looked on my expansion drive. I've got a couple expansion drives, so I'll keep going, but mm-hmm. I know one of them just won't work. Yeah. This one I've got still in here works pretty good, but the cover's predated, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. If they're on there, they are hidden, and I need, like, the original GIMP files.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that all I would have saved is the finished files, the finished PDF or the finished JPEG or whatever they happen to be.
Yeah, PDF.
Yeah. Take an MPEG.
An MPREG. MPREG file.
MPREG file.
No, that's...
That's something else.
That is something else entirely.
But yes, I don't have those files anymore. So if I ever want to add those covers, I might have to start from scratch. And I still own all the assets. I can rebuild it. It's not that hard.
Yeah, we have the technology.
We have the technology, but you know, I've always wanted to see my stuff in hardback. I will not deny that part of the reason I want to offer it in hardback is because I want to see it on my own shelf.
Yeah.
And since, you know, it costs us nothing to do in mm-hmm. our situation but time.
Yeah.
It could be worth it. Now, I do have a hardcover of a previous draft of Michael that we used at events.
Yeah, like we were going in that little window between when ? Came out and when Michael came out.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we started doing events. And because you didn't have copies of Michael, you needed something to show. So
we put the most up to date version in a hardback and had it printed and then dust jacket on it. And I don't remember who we had print that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember it came out okay, and we had to make some actual mass market sizes, and the mass market sizes were absolutely butchered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened, but they absolutely butchered that mass market size, and that's still something I'd like to do. I'd love to offer the traditional sizes, but I also think that I like the size that the 5x8 or whatever it is that we have.
Yeah. Monkclaw as a hardback.
Yes.
Definitely. Like, that's and pretty much all my stuff in hardback.
And I know you don't mind a lack of dust jacket.
I actually prefer no dust jacket. Okay. And I don't know how many other people agree or disagree. I don't like dust jackets.
For me,
I think they're annoying.
For me, I'm willing to, I would like a book with a dust jacket if it's something that's not just I read it, but something that I'm displaying it.
Yeah.
You know? And I know there's some people that will only read hardbacks, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for a while I really wanted to be one of those people, but the problem was my favorite authors were putting out books in hardback, and I was like, I love these books, but I can't always drop $30.
Yeah.
On a new book to read when I could go get the paperback for $7.99 in a couple of months. Because my original thought on the process had been, I could put out hardbacks in the same size. And I like hardbacks that are that little, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought about doing that. And, you know, basically, it's just, do you want a hardback version or a softback version in the same size? Roughly. Not really the same size, you know what I mean? They'll mm-hmm. make it a little bit bigger on Amazon, but...
Yeah.
I will say, I even if it's just for myself, I'm thinking of going on and updating, you know, when I'm happy with all my covers at some point, you know, I think they're doing very well. And even if I'm not, you know, more the description at this point, because the book description is ever changing and we're going to be trying some new descriptions probably yeah. even before these come out for yeah. a couple of books that are doing well but could do better.
Yeah.
But because like I think a new description for Michael and Hale is going to air.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a new description for Siron that I really like, and there's a new description for Swim that Swim's done well. I just don't think the description is perfect.
Yeah.
So I sent you one today, and you really liked it.
Yeah.
In Island of Legends, I don't really have control over that. I mean, I can suggest it, but that doesn't mean it's going to get done.
Yeah.
You know, because we'll all get distracted doing other things. But, you know, like I said, I want to have hardbacks, like, of that professional quality, even if I just print, like, five
mm-hmm.
and have one on my shelf, one for posterity. And then even just give the other three away to people.
Yeah.
That, you know, really helped me on the journey. I've thought about doing that as a special thing.
Yeah.
You know, having the, you know, the text, you know, glossy while the rest of it's matte and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one of the companies that'll do that and does it fairly well.
Yeah.
That was actually in our backyard when we lived in Ohio. We never used them, the 48-hour books.
Yeah, because they were pretty expensive.
They were pretty expensive, but if it's a limited run just for fun, you know, I'd pay that price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they printed pretty high-quality stuff from what I got
yeah.
to see. But,
like, not saying the price was not justified.
Yeah, it was justified, it's just high. And...
Yeah, it was not something that we could justify.
Yeah, because when I published Michael Ridding, when I was getting ready to get there, I was hell-bent on having mass-market paperback size.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the size I'd always read my thrillers in, but it just, I could never find somebody that I felt like was reliable enough to do it unless I ordered stock.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to order stock because who knew if I could move it? I was a first-time author.
Yeah.
And I had no idea at that point how to get it onto Amazon. I could do it now. Like, I know how to order stock like that and get it on Amazon. And if we order enough, bring our costs down. But we have to order lots and lots of them to bring our costs down. And is that worth it? I don't think so yet. But I'd order myself hardbacks for the shelf to say, you know, proudly, this is what I've done so far.
Yeah.
And if enough people want them, maybe, you know, I could offer them and do a limited run. But it wouldn't be something I think would happen in the next 5 years unless, like, you know, somebody really, really, really wants it.
Yeah.
Or, like, we have something that does very well and will justify it. But I think the Amazon hardbacks are going to have their place.
Yeah.
But the reason I was sort of shocked is everybody's talking about all these paper shortages that are coming down the pipeline. And I feel like that's going to get in the way of the print-on-demand world. And I'm sure a lot of people have already said, yeah, it's definitely going to do that. You know, I think I'm the last person to say that on a broad scale. But I feel like it'll still have its place. I feel like I'd like to utilize it and have our own, and maybe, you know, not stock them heavily when we do events, but, like, maybe have, like, five on hand, depending on how much they are, maybe even only a couple.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of have the stack of paperbacks and on top that we, because, you know, we used to do, like, we had the stack of books, and we'd have them lined up, a stack of Michael, stack of Hale, stack of Siron, you know, stack of Swim or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the top, we'd have another one in, like, a book display.
Yeah.
Thing. And maybe that's where a hardback would go.
Yeah.
And then we just put up a little sign saying hardbacks are this much, paperbacks this much. And I still plan to give away free codes if people take them.
Yeah, codes for audiobook.
No, codes for ebook.
Oh, okay.
Because BookFunnel offers that, and I can basically just go on click and generate a ton of codes that people can go download. They, depending on if I want them to or not, they just have to sign up for my mail list to get it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot more people do it and just quit, but I mean, I'm still at around 1,000 subscribers now, which I didn't think I'd be able to say when, you know, that big burst of subscribers happened when I chose that promo that really went places.
Yeah.
So.
Except, you know, that guy that said...
That was a separate one.
Oh, that was a separate one? Okay. No,
there was the one guy that was a very big thriller author that was in the second promotion I did. And I was like, oh, great, this is going to be fantastic. He never shared it once.
Well, I was going to say...
Like, he broke their own rules and wouldn't even share it.
I was going to say that one guy who responded to your newsletter saying, please unsubscribe me, I don't live there anymore.
He keeps sending me that. It's an automatic response from his email.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense or less
sense? One of these days I'll remove him, but for now nobody else talks to me anymore, so I get to talk to somebody telling me to stop talking to them. It's like an automated response.
That's your only form of fan mail.
I mean, I got some...
Please stop talking to me.
I had interactions.
Yeah.
Early COVID, I think
I basically
said, well, I'm going to hunker down. Anybody got movie or music suggestions? And I got a few people that responded, I hear some things. And
yeah,
it was pretty cool. Some people suggested things that I already was listening to or I'd already seen. And mm-hmm. they weren't common things. They got into some pretty obscure stuff. I'm like, okay, this is the otaku I'm looking for. This is the audience I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But
yeah, seriously, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Please keep it up.
Please, yes. We have a little bit left, but I want to keep focusing on the hardbacks. Like, because I'd want to do some of Michael and Hale and Siron. Swim, I think, will look good in hardback. I think we can't really argue there.
Yeah. And especially with, like, putting out a new version of Question Mark. There's a little bit of a personal reason, just because there's certain typos in my author bio that I'd like to have fixed.
We could look at that, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not a big concern right now, because it's they've been fixed already.
Yeah, they're fixed in Swim.
Yeah, I thought they were fixed in
Context. Not in Context. In Review.
Oh, I don't have I have a copy right here. I'm sure. I thought we did it.
Wait,
do you even have an author bio in here in the back?
Yeah, I do. New Moth Mob, I have it fixed in here.
Okay, I get it. I was wrong. I thought it was changed.
Yeah. New Moth Maw has the typo fixed, and Swim has the typo fixed.
Okay.
But not Question Mark.
Yeah, we can work on that later, but it's at least it's inside the book, it's not on the cover.
Yeah.
So that could be worked on. We can even edit the paperbacks, as you know.
Yeah.
So.
But I just wanted a justification to, you know, shift the author bio.
Yeah, and we could do that, but it's just something I've thought about. You know, I think that in the coming weeks and months, we will probably take it up and start offering hardcover.
Yeah, especially for Question Mark 5th anniversary, I think we should start putting out 5th anniversary hardbacks.
I think that Question Mark can be first. I think it's the easiest to make happen, because you know you have the files.
And it's the first one with a 5th anniversary.
Yes, Michael's 5th is coming up, isn't it?
Yes.
Michael's 5-year anniversary is going to be
May
16th, I believe.
Yeah.
To the 14th or 16th.
Yeah. One of those days.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy, because that book is still the one I think about more than any other book I've written.
Yeah. And my friend's son was born that exact day.
Like the day the book came
out? The day Michael came out.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I told you that. It was somebody I went to middle school was.
Oh, okay. I think that's something we'll start offering in the future. We can start with Question Mark, see if it brings in a crowd, but I think we'll make the Amazon versions, and then for my own ego, I will probably put together some bigger looking hardbacks. And they won't be cheap, you know, I'll be paying, you know, bookstore prices per copy.
Yeah, because hardbacks are expensive.
Yeah, I just have to find a company I really like, because the company that made the first Michael Rennie one, The book quality, the quality of the book itself was fine, but the dust jacket was not good.
Yeah.
I mean, from, like, if you're just looking at a spine, it's fine. But I didn't care for it that much, you know? So, but I think it could be done very well. And I think the hardback does still have a place in the publishing world.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I know there's some other authors like Jeremy Robinson is doing hardcovers now. I think he was doing it before Amazon did this and was offering dust jackets. I know I own his book Apocalypse Machine in hardback. Well, I own it. I think my grandma's stolen it for a while.
And she's borrowed it.
She's borrowed it for like a year now. Maybe not a year. I let her read the Didymus Contingency. I got it for last Christmas, so it's coming up on a year. She flew through it and then said, "Do you have more?"
You have more by this author?
So,
Jeremy Robinson is grandma approved.
Grandma approved, and the Didymus Contingency is rolling around their old folks home right now.
Yeah.
So it's getting some leads.
And
there.
I also put it in as a recommendation for my book club.
Cool. You didn't put in Michael, though.
No, because nobody cares.
Oh. Well, at least somebody's honest with me, you know? Yeah. That feels pretty good.
I mean, they're reading Mothmaw in December.
Yeah, they must not care at all. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. We're coming up on the 30-minute mark. The last one was over. Dottie's screaming, as Dottie tends to do.
Karen has not yet.
Karen's acting like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
She can't be hungry again. I fed her like 2 days ago.
She's Karen.
She is Karen. She was the fatty when we got her.
She is still the fatty.
I can't wait for more and more people to get into this podcast and wonder, who's Karen? Who's this woman you're insulting that's just off camera? Can she not speak for herself?
Well, she does, occasionally.
Well, yeah, she can rattle, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. She's a good girl. She's a dangerous girl.
Yeah, also something I never brought up until now that I've noticed on her, like, saddling and her pattern, like, on the sides, it actually spells out HOA.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, near the tail?
Near the tail, yeah.
Oh, I think I could see it.
Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa would love that. He works for the HOA. I brought him to that house. I brought him to their house. Oh, wait, I see it.
Yeah.
I see it. It does say HOA. We're confusing people.
We might, if there is enough requests, we might post a picture of Karen or something. And the HOA mark, her birthmark.
Uh-huh. She's a beautiful snake. She's deadly. But I just kind of had to come to the grips with, if I'm going to care for this snake that needs a home or it's going to die, I can't, you know, I treat it seriously. I treat all these venomous animals seriously. But I've used this quote maybe once or twice in books now. You know, if you fear something, if you just totally fear it, you panic. If you panic, mistakes are made. If mistakes are made, people die. And I take that mentality with these animals. I respect them, but I don't fear them.
Yeah.
And respect leads to more of a conversation with the animal when you're handling it. Less of a, I'm scared too. We're both screaming in each other's faces because we're scared of each other.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up more of a dialogue that I think has really helped me connect with some of these animals.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's worked with her. When we got her, she was
a bitch.
That, and she never came out. She was always in her hide. She never wanted to be seen. And now she's out most of the time. She's a cinnamon roll in the corner of her tank most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Brian.
Brian,
who has been an absolute delight since day one.
He's been a delight. He's so intelligent. He's an indigo snake, not a rattlesnake, so he's non-venomous.
He doesn't need to be.
He doesn't need to be. He brutalizes his prey. I'm giving everybody the same spiel over and over again every episode. That wasn't her rattling. That was just her fat tail falling off something.
Fat ass.
Karen came in very fat, and she's finally starting to lose a bit of weight.
That's good.
Yeah. She's on the quail diet. She doesn't like it, but she's on the quail diet.
Mm-hmm.
So. Brian, I don't think I've seen use his hide more than 5 times.
Yeah,
he knows he's a badass. He sits out in the open all the time and just stares. He's just staring at us.
He sits in his bath.
He knows who we are, which is so fantastic. A lot of the snakes don't. Some of the rattlesnakes will know who we are.
Yeah.
But things like the gophers and the bull snakes, they know that our general human presence could mean food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's also a new snake in here, I guess, if we're talking about snakes, we should point out before the episode's over. There was a red racer I couldn't re-release, and we talked about having a red racer for educational purposes. And now this red racer has finally come out of quarantine, and he's in the reptile room. And he's taking the place of one of the ball pythons that moved into a snake rack, because she just wasn't thriving in the cage. She's thriving in a snake rack. And so that red racer's up there now. He is fast. Look up. Farrell, look at the at the top. Right tank.
Hello, Willie.
There's just this one other rattlesnake at the very top with his eye looking down at us right now. He used to do that in his other cage, too. speckled rattlesnake is always fun. Yeah. We were talking about hardback books.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll round it out with a reptile thing about hardback books. I have decided, though, that I like the idea of the glossy hardback for any reptile books or any nonfiction books I write that are about a subject. Because that'll happen. And I used to love, like, collecting those. You know the kind I'm talking about. Maybe even from the 90s.
Yeah.
Sort of that feel.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's the style I'd want to publish in. So many of my heroes in the reptile world publish like that. And that's something I'm going to do. I'm working out some kind of writing project about snake ownership and what it's been like for me, and sort of maybe a memoir just of my reptile thoughts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And because we talked about a memoir of the first year of Wonder Valley Snake.
Yeah.
And I just decided, yeah, there's a ton of content there I could rewrite and put down, but the journey is not over with that yet.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to have a lot more to talk about by the end of next year.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll see that in a hardback, though, because I'd love to write a hardback about the rattlesnakes of Southern California and California in general. We talked about filming a documentary and having it professionally narrated about the rattlesnakes of California, going out filming them and hiring somebody to narrate it and have a little nature documentary.
Yeah.
So that's always on the table. We were talking about hardbacks.
Yeah. We were still talking
about It is 9 at night. It's my bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't even taken my pills yet that they finally refilled tonight after waiting like 45 minutes in line just to be told to come back in 15 minutes. Whatever. I got a milkshake and I felt better. Anyway, yeah, my feelings is hardbacks are going to have a place in the indie world. It's not a huge place right now, but it's a place. And no, I don't know what the costs are. No, I don't know what any of this is. I know that if I can offer it for a competitive price, it could be another revenue stream. And for us, when we can rework the things and make them into new sizes and all that fairly easily,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't have to outsource our formatting. We don't have to outsource our cover creation.
Yeah.
At this point, I just see it as leaving money on the table. Even if it's like an extra $5, well, all we did was had to, you know, put in a little bit more work to make it happen. So... Or I could be wrong. We could get into it, and it's horrible, and it sucks, and I hate it, and I don't want to do it after a question mark. But question mark is sort of the guinea pig, so maybe...
Question mark has been the guinea pig from the very beginning.
Yeah, I think what question mark needs to do is it needs to be the first one, and you can start working on that maybe after you finish the book for me, you said.
Yeah.
Because that book's basically done. I just kind of
T-Rex, I just need to go through and read again.
T-Rex is... I don't know when this episode will be coming out. Let me do a rough judge.
Yeah.
It'd be coming out
right before Thanksgiving.
Right after Thanksgiving for us, but because it'd be right here, right? Our family is celebrating it on the 21st.
Okay.
Just so that's when everybody's in town. Sorry.
Yeah.
That confused me. That's all we've been talking about is the 21st of Thanksgiving on the phone with grandma and family. But so the 22nd of this one come out?
Yeah, that would come out the 22nd. And then the next one will be a Thanksgiving episode? Question mark?
Maybe. I'm not opposed to that. I've got
yeah.
We talk about what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
I can't do that tonight though. I'm getting a headache and I'm not even thankful for living at this point.
And plus we just had a discussion about the worst books we've ever read and you went on a big rant about the lake house.
Well, did earwigs actually climb in your ears?
I don't know.
Welcome to Publisher's Slaughterhouse. Okay, we are at almost 40 minutes. in time going and doing the thing. I hope people understand we do have fun doing this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always, like, we aren't a serious podcast.
We are not.
I don't want to be a serious podcast. This is fun with me and my bro. Ow!
Same gag from
the last episode. No, don't do that. Why is there, like, marks? Why do I see tread marks on my hand? But look at that from where you hit me.
Here, I'll put another one on your other hand to match.
No!